Hi, everybody. I hope you had a good week. I was able to get away from the office for a few days this week, and that's why in just a few moments you'll be hearing from my good friend, Eddie Sharp. Eddie has preached at Preston Road a couple of times over the past couple of years, and so he's already a friend of many of ours. He was a longtime preacher in Abilene and then Austin, and more recently he and his wife Annette have moved to the Metroplex to be closer to their grandkids. Eddie has been a tremendous encouragement to me over the years, and I know you're going to be encouraged by what he says in today's teaching. I know this because I've already heard it. One of the weird privileges I have during this strange time is I get to be in the room when a preacher like Eddie records his sermon for you all to hear. Before I turn it over to Eddie in just a few moments, I do want to note that this is a significant weekend, a significant Sunday on the Christian calendar. We don't make a lot of the Christian calendar in our heritage except around Easter and Christmas. But this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and Christians all around the world are remembering and celebrating that special event that we read about in Acts chapter 2. For many of us who grew up in the same heritage, when we read Acts chapter 2 and we think of Pentecost, we think of all those people being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's certainly part of the story. But the real significance, the real miracle of Pentecost Sunday is that the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people, just as Christ and just as the prophets of old said it would be. And it was that gift of the Holy Spirit, God's empowering presence within the first Christians, that transformed their lives and gave them the courage and the faith and the message, the gospel, to take around the world. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the first Christians all the resources they needed to be witnesses to the risen Christ, to the very ends of the earth. And as I think about Pentecost Sunday this weekend and the miracle of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, I think about how badly we need a fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Especially over the past few days as our country has been in turmoil over the tragic, senseless, unnecessary death of George Floyd. We think about the larger issues, the divisions, the misunderstandings, the biases, the prejudices in our culture. We long for unity. We long for a deeper sense of community. We cry out for justice, and yet now more than ever, it seems obvious that we as human beings do not have the resources within ourselves to create that kind of unity or community or to overcome our racism, our prejudice, our biases. No, that kind of transformation can only come from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this Pentecost Sunday, let's cry out for God's transforming presence in our life. Let's cry out for justice. Let's cry out for God to move in our hearts so that we could be agents of transformation working for justice in our city and in our country and around the world. Let's cry out for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Join me in prayer, please. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today our hearts ache, our hearts break as a result of the death of George Floyd. And we lament not only his senseless death, but also the larger systems, the structures that are in place that allow such terrible things to happen. And we pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit and that you would transform our hearts and equip us to be agents of transformation, working for justice in your world. Lord, beyond this, I do not know what to pray. All I can do is groan and trust that your Holy Spirit is interceding for the brokenhearted and those whose pain is beyond words. We long for your presence, Lord, and we long for the peace and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit working in us. And it's in the name of the risen Christ we pray. Amen.
Are you tired of this? Are you tired of this being in? And are you tired of this being masked? Are you tired of this unchanging news cycle? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Wouldn't this be a great time for Jesus to come? There are people in the New Testament who thought it was a good time for Jesus to come. When Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, he wanted to encourage them. He had not been with them very long when he had gone there. He'd been there 3 Sabbaths. Maybe 15 days, maybe a few more, but then it got hot and he had to leave. He ended up going to Berea and Athens and finally down to Corinth. And at Corinth, he decides to write them a letter to encourage them. And as he encourages them, that they should be faithful because Jesus is coming. And at the end of every chapter, the beginning of the 5th one and the end, he says something about the coming of Jesus. Let me show you this. Paul's first letter encourages them with the promise that Jesus is coming. In the chapter 1, he says, "They all tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." At the end of chapter 2, he says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you?" At the end of chapter 3, he says, "May he strengthen your hearts, so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." Then in chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." The beginning of chapter 5. "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." And then at the end of chapter 5, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Is it any wonder that the people in Thessalonica, after getting this letter that is fully a third about the coming of Jesus, that many of them took the coming of Jesus quite to heart? And so when Timothy comes down to Corinth to visit with Paul about the church in Thessalonica, he says to Paul, "We got a problem." And the problem is, they believe you. They believe that Jesus is coming. They believe that Jesus is coming right now. They've quit work. Some of them have quit work. They're just sitting around. They're just quitting around. They have withdrawn from life. They are talking about one another. They're not busy. They're busybodies. So Paul writes a letter. Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to tell them two things. One, Jesus is not coming for a while. He talks about the man of sin and some other things. And then he also gives them a promise from God about what to do while you're waiting. He does this with three prayers, one at the end of each chapter. And so when we look at the end of chapter 1, we read this. With this in mind, and the "with this" is a reference to his immediately talking about the coming of Jesus again. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a remarkable promise. This is a promise that God is going to give us his power. It would have been very tempting for the people in Thessalonica to just sit and believe that because Jesus was coming soon, somehow the mission of God didn't need to go forward. It's temptation for us now to be able to say, with all of this that's going on, maybe it's time to sit. Maybe it's time to just vegetate in the kingdom of God. But Paul says he's praying that in this interim between receiving life in Christ and the second coming of Christ, that we will be active participants in the work of the kingdom of God. He doesn't say go sit on a rock until God zaps you with an idea, although God could do that. He says God is wanting to add his power to every purpose of yours. That the people in Thessalonica and the people here at Preston Road are expected to have a clue. Have a clue about what needs to be done. What could we do in this place, in this space, in this time? God says he is willing to add his power to your plans. And I think it's good to remember that the power of God isn't just a gentle nudge. The power of God is the power that brought Jesus into the world. The power of God is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of God is the power of the Holy Spirit that cracked open Pentecost and poured out blessing and gospel. And that the power that has been present from the beginning of all things is the power that is present now to work in the purposes of the people of God. The power isn't the only promise. Look at the prayer at the end of chapter 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. In this prayer, we're reminded that God is interested in giving us strength in every good deed and word. But this is not strength from a distance. I used to get kind of upset back when I was a little kid and could run track. I used to be fast and young, and now I'm not fast. But when I was younger, I was annoyed that when you were starting the 200 meters or the 100 meters, the people at the finish line were yelling, "Come on, come on." They didn't have to run. They didn't know what it was like. Years later, I was running a 10K. Don't worry. It was later and it wasn't fast. But I went out too quickly. At the end of a mile, I'd run faster than I was supposed to run. I knew I'd spent a lot of my money and I was running out of gas. And about mile 5.5, my lungs were hanging over my shoulder and I was getting ready to quit. And at that point, one of my friends who was up ahead of me dropped back and began to run beside me and said, "We can make this." Some of you may know this guy. His name is Roland Orr. He's one of the very best men that I know, but he came back to run with me. He came back so he could not only say, "You can make it," but so he could run beside me. And the promise that Paul is praying for here is that we will know that God's presence is with us. Not just His power, but His presence. The presence of God can be seen in so many different ways. The presence of God in creation, the presence of God in His Word, the presence of God as we've studied here in Romans, that Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Praying when we don't have the words. Offering us gifts, bearing fruit. The presence of God is in us. And Thessalonians is written to the people. It's written to the crowd. The presence of God is with us in the faces and the lives of the people around us in the journey. The presence of God. Jesus is not coming yet, but the power of God is with us, and the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with us. So let's look at the end of chapter 3. The end of chapter 3 in a 3:16. There are a lot of really good 3:16s. "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Not only will we have the power of God in us as a church and in us as individuals, the power of God in us as we envision ways that we can serve the mission and the goals of the kingdom of God, not only will there be power and not only will God be with us, not just yelling from the finish line, but striding with us, Father, Son, and Spirit. But we are called also to peace. Paul prays the blessing of peace over this church. Instead of being busybodies and withdrawn from life, enter life in peace. I love this word, peace. It's important for us. Often what we call peace in this world isn't peace at all. It's a balance of terror. The missiles of one country aimed at the missiles of another country. We have this wonderful thing called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. And under the arch of the MAD slogan, we have what some people call peace. Some families have peace because the husband who doesn't care for the wife, they both kind of make it work by focusing on the children and kind of have this mutual non-aggression pact. And they call that peace. Facebook gives you peace because it'll just send you what you agree with. And it helps you love your own ideas with greater elegance and hate others with greater justification. And if you can love yourself and hate others in a justified way, well, could that be peace? It's not peace. Peace that God gives is peace that comes in knowing that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God has been established in a way that casts out fear. That in the presence of life, we're at peace. In the presence of death, we're at peace. That when we are with others who are not like us, we are not called to judgment, but to peace. That our first impulse toward others is to do toward them as we would have them do toward us. That we taste our words. And in a James 3 sort of way, we pray for the wisdom that comes from above that is loving and gentle and kind and peacemaking. Paul wants to pray these prayers for these people who are waiting for the coming of Jesus. Jesus is coming. He is. And as Jesus comes, we also are waiting. We are awaiting people. And as we are awaiting people, we are waiting in a world that we have not yet received the coming of Jesus, but we have received the promise that though He is not here, we have the power and the presence and the peace with us. May we as the people of God wait honorably, but may we wait powerfully. May we wait as people accompanied by the very presence of God. And may we wait as a people filled with peace and as emissaries of peace in the world. Have a blessed week.